This week's Parsha, double Parsha, Tzavim and Vayelech. We're also going to tie in as well to the upcoming high holiday season. Please give me your full attention. Full attention. Psst. I was reading today on the way into the van, on the way into the yeshiva, and it's something I've seen years past and I forgot about it, but it's not funny, even though it's somewhat funny. It's a very strange reality that we all know exists. Hopefully you've never had to experience it, but I'm sure you've heard of it. Someone, God forbid, is ill and needs a very serious surgery operation, a medical opinion. And they go and they want to make sure they get the best doctor. Where did he study? You know, recommend him to me. I want to hear what he's like. My life is in his hands. I'll better make sure this doctor really knows what he's talking about. Everyone, hopefully not, but people who have had to go through processes like this will always double check the person's, their degrees and their bedside manner and everything else has to go along with being a good doctor. Being a patient to a doctor like that. However, we noticed this. I saw this in the Sefer called Lehagid by Rav Galinsky. He points this out in his name that when it comes to, let's say, we're trying to catch a flight, we're flying somewhere. So, anyone here ever asked the pilot's name? Do you want to know the pilot's name? Let me see your credentials, young man. And I see, you know, where'd you learn how to fly? What would you look for? What is the cheapest ticket I can possibly find? And book me on that, okay? Why don't we ask who the pilot is? Your life is in his hands. If he does a bad job, it will mean your life. Why don't we ask that question? So I'll put that as a question mark. I'll answer at the very, very end based on what we're about to say. That's the question I want you to think about for a minute. I want to talk about free choice for a minute. We spoke about this in the past during pre-share a little bit. This week's parsha, we have a line that Moshe Feinstein highlights. It says the following thing. In the Tzavim, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yutzes. Haidosi b'chem hayom v'shamayim v'tzaretz. I'm having the heavens and the earth testify about today. I gave life and death in front of you. Habracha v'akala, good, bad, blessing, curse. Ubachad b'chad, I ask you please to choose life. I'm asking you guys, I'm asking you to choose life. L'man tichya tazrecha, so you and your children can live. I'm asking you to choose life. Rashi over here, Moshe Feinstein quotes, Rashi over here discusses, what does it mean of Shemayim v'aretz? That they always do their job. Shemayim always acts as Shemayim, aretz always acts as aretz, the sun is always the sun, the moon is always the moon. They always do the job. I'm telling you, use them as your role models. Make them your role models. The same way that they are always acting in place, so too should you. That's what Rashi brings down. Moshe Feinstein asks a basic question. That's a crazy kal v'chomer to give. I have free choice. I can do what I want to do. Shemayim v'aretz have no such free choice. They are created that way to do what they're supposed to be doing. Therefore, how can you tell me the same way Shemayim does what it's supposed to do, and aretz what it's supposed to do, so to you do what you're supposed to do? That's very strange. Moshe Feinstein says the following chiddush. And we actually, if you look in Bereishis, when we come up very soon, you'll see it yourself. Shemayim and aretz have free choice. They can disobey God. We even know of a time that they did. Aretz disobeyed God in creation of the world. It did. Hashem told the world, I want you to make fruit trees where the fruit the tree tastes like the fruit. It didn't do it. It didn't. It didn't create right. So either God messed up, or the aretz opted, whatever that means, to not follow suit. Now, why don't we often see, we see ourselves make mistakes, why doesn't the Shemayim always make mistakes in aretz? So it says Moshe Feinstein, a very simple reason. If you could imagine that God was right on your shoulder and you could see him with such clarity all the time, would you make mistakes? If there was a police car driving behind you, every time you got in the car, would you ever speed? No. Could you speed? Sure. Might you speed? Yeah, you have to run somewhere at a hospital. You might speed. You may get pulled over, but you'll tell the cop afterwards why you sped. But you'll never speed because things are so clear in front of you. They're so clear. Shemayim v'aretz and Moshe Feinstein actually have free choice. Somebody, you have free choice to go up right now and jump off a building or to jump into a fire, but you'll never do it. You've never done it up till now. You'll never do it, hopefully. Why? Because the reality is, if I do that, I'm dead. I don't want that to happen. The reality is overwhelming me. What would happen? I'm not going to do it. Shemayim v'aretz have a reality. They know they can choose. But the reality is, this is what God wants from me. Why would I ever not want to keep what God wants from me? And therefore, they always stay to the party line. They always do the right thing. So God gave you and I the greatest gift. The gift of choice. But it's a different choice than the Malachim have. Different choice than the Shemayim v'aretz have. It's a choice that for us is not so easy. It's not. Because we don't see the reality all the time. The greatest gift God gave us, he gave us lack of clarity. I know it sounds strange, it's the greatest gift he gave us. it makes your decision that much more significant. If you saw the policeman behind you at all times and you don't speed, you want a medal for that? It's a no-brainer. But if someone's watching you speed or not speed, and there's no cop in sight, and you drive the speed limit, then you are legit a good driver. And careful. Because Baruch Hu wants to know, are you a good driver or not? I'm not going to give you the clues I give Shemayim Baretz. But just know they know the truth and they stick to every last piece. You have free choice also. He gave it to us for our benefit. Can you imagine the pain it must cause God? When we take the gift He gave us, He gave us a gift of free choice, and we use it to go against Him. Can you imagine the pain? I'll give you just a muscle, imagery. Imagery. Imagine, I don't want to get graphic here, imagine that you bought your wife, your girlfriend, perfume that you happen to like, nice smelling perfume for the two of you. You gave her a gift for the two of you, so you can be close. And imagine that she used that perfume to seduce another man. Same perfume that you gave her. How much more hurtful is that? It was a gift that you gave her for the two of you and she used it for someone else. Wow. Heart. Because Baruch Hu gave you the greatest gift. He gave you choice. He gave you difficult choices. So you can choose good. You can choose right. If you work hard enough, you want to understand, you ask, you challenge, you work. But it's there for the taking. You can learn about it. You can find out about it. And it's even better than the Shemayim Baruch, because it's not so clear for us sometimes. But if you try and you want to be honest, you want to work at it, you have the gift of choice. Our choices, besides the moment, have very long-lasting ramifications. Well beyond the moment. I'll tell you a quick, quick mashal I read today. This person named Rav Bloch. So he was in Chicago at the time. And he saw two trains that were sitting together, like one in one direction, one going the other direction. One going to L.A., and one was going to New York. He said to him, so you know how far those trains are apart from each other? He's like, a few meters, a few feet? He's like, they're 3,000 miles apart. They're not really. They're not. But they really are. Because they're heading in those directions. Right now, they're Amish cross. But they're going that direction. And that's where they're going to be ending up eventually. They're heading that way. So right now, even though they haven't got there yet, they're thousands of miles apart. They're directions, they're going that way. Look right, very close to each other, look the same, but they're not. Every action that we take, every move that we make, it's going to be pushing us in a long-term direction. Long-term. It may be even a small action, something you don't even realize at the time. But the ramifications could be so long-term. We don't even understand or recognize how long-term. I used to play fantasy baseball. I'm embarrassed in my heart. I played way too long when I was too old to be playing fantasy baseball. So only a number of years ago, I was still playing. I was in Israel teaching yeshiva. Every morning waking up, seeing what third base in the Kansas City Royals did last night. Like, who cares? But I was guilty of it. I used to always look at the Yahoo, the board, the big board, top 50 players. And the greatest thing to look at on that board was not what number they're at, but what was next to their name. They either had a big red arrow pointing down, which means like they're on the downslide. They're right now 14, but like they were at 3 last week. They're pointing down. We have a guy who's 37, who's green, is pointing up. The third baseman got hurt, and he's a new replacement. He's really playing well. That's much, the number on the side is less important. That arrow next to their name is so much more important. So much more important. I'd rather have a student of mine get married to a girl who's less religious if her green arrow is pointing up than get married to a more religious girl when her red arrow is pointing down. Momentum is so crucial. Your development, your growth. I don't care where you are. I really don't. I mean, I do, but I don't. I care so much more where you're looking at. Are you looking to go to LA? Are you looking to go to New York? Which train are you on? That's so much more important than where you're at right now. So much more important. Your choices have such ramifications beyond the moment. Sif Seichan, I read yesterday with Mitch Blitman. We're learning together. And we read you're gonna actually daven this in a week from now. You'll be saying this a few times, and also a week from then, Yom Kippur. I'm gonna say it in the tefillah voice, even though I have a terrible tefillah voice, but I'll do it anyways. We say, Uvechein Tein Pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu, which means, God, please place fear among I'll call Amcha, I'll call Masha Barata, put fear to everybody. One second. We know one rule of thumb is that God lets you choose how afraid you are of Him. It says in the Mishnah, in the Gemara in Brachos, Dav Lama Gimel, Hakol Bidei Shamayim, Chutz Meyirat Shamayim. It's the one thing God does not do to you. You choose. How can I say to God, God, give me fear? Tein Pachta, give me fear, I want Yirat Shamayim. So I heard the most beautiful idea. And Rabbi Goldschmidt mentioned it in Shmooz a little bit. Hopefully you guys listen to it. Your job is to just try. It's your job. You just try. You just get out there and you do the best that you can. That's your job. Whatever that is. God's job is to meet you more than halfway. 99% of the way is to meet you. That's His job. All you have to do to get your Shemayim is just say to God, I really want it. I've heard so many people say to me, since we've been here already, so many people say to me, I'm not inspired. I'm frustrated. I'm not inspired. Well, what are you doing to get inspired? I'm just waiting. You go to Minyan? No. You go to a certain shir? No. I'm waiting. I want to be inspired. What do you think you have to do to get inspired? You don't sit back and do nothing. You must make the first move. Not only go to shir. You go to davening. You beg God. You beg Him. I would like nothing more than to find you. I don't see you. I don't know you. I want to get to know you. You can't not go to davening and then complain you're not inspired afterwards. You daven, you beg God for inspiration. And then you don't get inspiration, you go to Rebbe and you say, Rebbe, something's wrong. Something is wrong, it's not working. But to say at the end that you're not inspired, and you don't even go straight to davening, you don't wear tzitzis, you don't keep basic, the easiest laws, and you're not inspired, so look in the mirror. You're not doing your job. Where's your uvechein tein pachtecha? Where is it? You're not saying it. So why do these going to happen? It's a magic trick. You walk in Israel, falafel inspiration. That's what I got just now in that sniff. No, you may get falafel, but you will not get inspiration. It doesn't work that way. You must put in effort. And every effort that you put in will have ramifications so far beyond your imagination. And every lack of effort is the same. You missed the boat. You got in the wrong train that time. Your arrow was going down. That's much more serious than where you're holding right now. It is so easy to do tshuva, though. That's the good news. So easy. It says in the Mishnah Kiddushin, if a Russia gets married to a girl and says, marry me on condition I'm a tzaddik, and she says, okay, they're married, but he's not a tzaddik. Says the Gemara Kiddushin, if he had here, hooray, tshuva, if he thought for a moment of time, I want to be better, that counts. That counts to make you a tzaddik. You think I want to be a tzaddik? That's enough to make you a tzaddik right now. Because you're trying. Because you have a goal in mind. Because you want to go to the right place. That's all that you need. That's the first level of tshuva. And that's up to you to decide. You have to ask, uvechein tein pachtecha. And then God says, you got it. That's a deal. If you mean it. But show me that you mean it. Not as like, well, on my bed, give me inspiration. No, that you mean it. That you can put an effort in. And I will give you a lot more than you put in. I'll give you so much more. Part one. Part two. It says regarding, this will be a shorter part. It says regarding the, we say this in Rosh Hashanah davening, I'll read it out to you. We say before, during the discussions of the, before the shofar blasts, we say, Ki ata shomea kol shofar, u'mazin tshua v'ein do melach. Which means, that you hear the voice of the shofar, you listen to the trua, nothing's like you. What's the difference between shomea and mazin? Shomea is far away. Like I heard that. I heard about that. Mazin is listen. It's like much closer. Part one. Shofar is a single blast. Trua is da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I heard the following shot again from Glinsky again. Beautiful idea. He says, Glinsky? Yeah. He says that a shofar is a regular shofar sound, tkia, is a rock solid person. Doesn't waver, solid as a rock. The other one, life is tumultuous, back and forth, I can't figure it out. If I ask you, who's God closer to, what do you think? Of course the rock solid guy. Push it. How could he not be? Says the psukim, it's not like that. The bracha is that God is shomea from far away to the one who's rock solid. Not a bad thing. But the one who's he's mamash tazin. He's right there. He's right next to you. He's listening so closely. And that's when the thing says in the end, V'ein domalach. No one else is like that, God. No one. Every other king, their most loyal person, who they're closest with. But you, you're closest with the people who aren't so loyal to you. L'mashal, imagine a scene. You have two children. One is a straight A student. He's a father's dream. And one is a kid who's just in trouble all the time. Would you not be by that kid's side so much more often? Waiting on any sign of improvement. You'd be doing anything you could to help him out. Anything. That's God. That's us. Anything that he could do, he would do for that shrua. He's tazin. No one's like that. No one's like that. There's a story I read in the same book where it said there was a person who was a very rich guy who never gave anyone money, ever. Never gave him money. And one time, you know, he was drowning, and the lifeguard went and said to him, reach out your hand. Give me your hand. And the guy says to him, I don't give anyone anything. I don't. That's what I am. I'm a miser. I don't give anyone anything. So he says back to him, so take my hand. Take my hand. Take. I'll give you my hand. Take my hand. We say in the davening, in the high holiday season, Hashem is no sin yad l'kol poshim. Hashem gives his hand to people who are sinners. He gives it to you. He says, I'm not even asking you to give it to me, your hand. I'll just take my hand. I'm reaching. I'm right over here. Just put your hand out. Don't give me. Take from me. I'm begging you. Just take my hand. The trua, ma'azin, I'm begging you to listen up very closely. I'm going to end off just with one last point. I'm not getting off the point. There's no time, unfortunately. The answer to the question about the pilot versus the doctor is very simple. You know full well if that doctor messes up, you're dead. But he's not. He's life. He goes back home to his family, has a meal, goes the next day for work again. If that pilot messes up, then he's going down with you. You know that. You trust him because you know it's for his sake also. You trust him. Because Baruch Hu gave you things, he's with you every step of the way. If you go down, he's in pain. When you succeed, he's happy. Those words I don't think mean when it comes to God. I'm making them up. But we use these words to describe God. Because you and God, we are his children. When you're a child, you're only, I heard a phrase one time, you're only as happy as your least happy child. Think about what I just said. You're a person only as happy as the least happy child. When someone's in pain, you're in pain. That's how it works in the world. God is not a doctor. He's a pilot. Whatever happens to you, it happens to him. He wants you to succeed so badly. He just wants you to try. If you're bracha, we spend the next few days together trying, working, pushing a little bit more. Minyan, tzitzis, take on things until the high holiday when we come over there and we say to God, you know, I want to take your hand. Give me your hand. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take your hand. I won't give you mine yet, but I'll take yours if you let me try to take it. I wish you a bracha. We should continue to grow together. The next few days should be inspirational. We get to the high holiday season. We're able to take God's hand with great love. Have a good Shabbos.